Turn back to the Gospel of Luke tonight. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 17. Verse 11. Y'all hear me? Hear me, Brother Metcalf? All right. My voice is not so strong as it once was. I've been trying to keep it, but sometimes it plays out in a most crucial time. So pray for me. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go, shew yourselves unto the priest." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10? But where are the 9? And there are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger." And he said unto him, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." Amen. The Lord would help me. I want to preach on, what did he say? I want to preach on, what did he say? Sometimes we think that the Lord is not talking to us because he tells us something that just doesn't make sense to us. Amen. These men were very much in a bad situation. Life couldn't have been any more cruel to them than it was. The only thing that would have helped them would have been death, where they were slowly dying a piece at a time. A day at a time they were dying with no way to recover. There was no cure for leprosy. Can I get an amen? There was no cure for it. It was the incurable disease of that age. If you had leprosy, it was going to first pronounce itself upon you, and as soon as you were a leper by the priest, it was going to send you into isolation. They're going to send you away from your family, away from your community, away from your job. Whatever you touched became infected. Your house had to be cleansed. Amen. Everything that you belonged to had to be either burnt or destroyed. And you were absolutely set loose like a derelict ship on the sea of life. Nobody wanted you mooring up at their harbor. Come on, somebody say amen. Leprosy was not pretty. Leprosy was very, very hard on anyone it touched. These men were not 10 men who were coming together to start another social club. One thing put them together, the common suffering of leprosy. They were all lepers. They could have been from different towns. They could have been from different occupations. They could have had different varied family lives, but they were all the same. They were all lepers. When you look at them individually, there was one stranger cast in their midst. There were 9 apparent Jews and 1 Samaritan. You know from John chapter 4 that Jews had no dealing with Samaritans. Well, that was before they had a common affliction. Amen. That man was accepted into that company then, because they were all going to the same place, the grave. Whatever they could do to keep alive, they needed one another. That affliction brought them together in a common fight. It gave them a common cause. It gave them some protection. It gave them some comfort. It gave them some sociabilities. For leprosy denied them all of that. So they come together, all 10 of them. You can see them in your mind, can't you? They wasn't dressed very good. There was no place for them to buy. Unless somebody left them something, it would be dropped on the road. And then they would have to back away, and the man who was going to come to receive it would have to come and pick it up. If food was given them, that could not be handed to them. They had to set it down, back away, and then those men could come and receive it. There was no touching. There was no common ability to comfort them. Whatever they had was given to them. From the moment they were pronounced a leper, they lived off of handouts. Amen. You remember the Old Testament story, don't you, of those four lepers who joined together? They were outside the city. And they couldn't live. They knew they couldn't live. They was in such a predicament that the enemy was this way and those people were that way, and neither one of them was going to help them. They had to have help from somewhere. So they decided to try the enemy, because this law of God was so rigid against a leper that he didn't have a chance. These guys may not have a law and they may not care. They may give them a handout. So Jesus said, we will just go and see what happens. And God went before them, of course, and you understand the story, that they found more than they could stash away. They found more than they could eat. And then they said, we're not doing right. We need to go and tell these folks, even though they wouldn't give us anything, we've got to tell them about this. So when you have leprosy, it doesn't keep you from having a heart. When you have leprosy, it doesn't keep you from being human. When you have leprosy, it doesn't keep you from having compassion and feelings. They were just locked up in a body. Their soul was locked up in a body that was decaying. Their soul was locked up in a body that they couldn't do anything about. They were actually in a jail, and they couldn't get paroled. They were locked up and couldn't escape. The sentence had been passed. Death will solve your problem. Come on, somebody say amen. It doesn't tell us that Jesus came here on purpose, as it did when it said of the woman at the well that he must go through Samaria. But it does tell us that he did go again. You did understand that, didn't you? He did come from where he was at, and he was going through Samaria. That's what the Bible said. As he went to Jerusalem, he passed through the midst of Samaria. Oh, that's a wonder in itself. Most Jews going to Jerusalem would circumvent Samaria. They wouldn't even go through it. They wouldn't have anything to do with those people, drink their water, eat their bread, or anything else. They did not like them. But here's Jesus right in the middle of a Samaritan people. Amen. And he is going through them, and he is coming towards Jerusalem. And then he gets through Samaria. He finds himself in Galilee. And here in Galilee, these 10 Samaritans, no, this one Samaritan and this 9 Jews, heard, seen, attracted to, we're not told, but they find him. Oh, the happy day when we find Jesus. Somebody say amen. Oh, the happy day. Oh, their day of darkness was about to meet the day spring from on high. Their suffering was about to find a heart of compassion. Someone who would not run away because of helplessness. Someone who could stand his ground and do something about their malady. Someone who could speak a word and change their life. They didn't know. They had just heard. So much of this New Testament, when you find people exploring, looking for Jesus, they're doing it because they just heard about him. He was a traveling evangelist. He was continually on the move. But when they did finally get to where the roads crossed, what a day. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. He was going to go through Jericho to Jerusalem. Blind Bartimaeus sat by the roadside. Again, a helpless situation. Helpless. Oh, he was blind and he could not change it. He was blind, and the blindness made him a beggar. He was a beggar, and that made everybody look down on him. He was doing his best to survive. He was doing his best to live. But living was not that. He was existing. But when Jesus came by and Bartimaeus heard that it was him, he cried out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And mercy stopped in the middle of the street. And mercy called for him. And where there was nothing but darkness, the beautiful day of his life sprung for his eyes that had never seen, all of a sudden looked in the face of a lovely Galilean who cared enough to stop and show mercy. Oh, there's times when your road crosses. What a wonderful day when you get the opportunity to say something to Jesus. Well, you're not helping me preach, are you? Well, these men's lives have been stopped by a tragedy and bound together by the same tragedy. They were lepers. They were lepers. They found one another. They bound themselves together in a common cause, survival. And that common cause brought them into this fellowship. The fellowship of the 10 lepers, they could have called it. The church of the 10 unwanted. Amen. Well, whatever it was, they did find that day. And what an opportune day it was. And all they wanted to do was turn it around. They wanted out of this situation. That's all they wanted from life. Let me out. Let me out. Let me out. Stop this merry-go-round and let me off. Amen? Stop this rat race. I want to get out of it. Did you ever get to the place where you've had enough? Come on, somebody shout amen. Did you ever get to the place where you had enough? You can't take no more. You don't want no more. You want out of this situation. Well, that's where these men found themselves. And there was no one that could do it. No one that could do it. And then they found Jesus. Let me read it to you again. And he entered into a certain village. And there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. 10 men that were lepers in a certain village, and they stood afar off because the law forbidden them to get any closer. Amen? They were to hang a rag over their mouth or put their hand over their mouth, and they were to scream at anyone approaching them, "Unclean! Unclean! I'm a leper! Unclean!" to warn anyone who might just inadvertently touch them and become contaminated. So they stood afar off, but not too far. You may feel far off tonight, but you're not too far. You may feel like life has dealt you a bad blow, but there's help in the house. You may feel like you can't get up from what's got you down, but there's help on this road. He came through that certain village. And again, I believe in his omnipotence and his omniscience that he knew everything. I believe he was waiting for them to make their plea. Amen. Now the story doesn't go according to, as what we say, a fair deal. Because these people are like Naaman. They expected something miraculous. You remember Naaman, don't you? That notorious leper who was a great man, mighty in valor. That when he came to be healed, he expected that this prophet of God would put his hand out and pass it over him and pronounce him clean. And that he could go away just as much of an uptown dude as he was when he rode up in his chariot. But he didn't treat him that way. He just said, "Now look, now if you want to really be healed, go dip in Jordan." And all of a sudden, when this man's expectation was not met, he got ferociously mad. You're not listening to me, are you? Some of you are so far off. And the reason you're so far off is because you keep blaming circumstances. And God keeps telling you your circumstances have nothing to do with it. If you want to get out of your circumstances, you can meet a man who can tell you what to do. How many met him and he made you new? Raise your hand all over this building. You met him and he made you a new creature. Now he does it every day. Well, we know what we're talking about, don't we? Amen. Glory to God. Now, we know what we're talking about because it happened to us. There is no cure for sin. You can't beat it out. You can't threaten it out. You can't steer it out. Sin is something that only God can purge out. Amen. Where there's sin, there's death. Amen. For the wages of sin is death. But one day Jesus stopped and met you on the road of life, and he told you what to do. And it was up to you then to be obedient. So these lepers are finally dead still. They're all standing. Can you see them? A group of 10? Can you see them? Ragged, tattered, horrible looking. Some of them have scabs. Some of them are are missing parts of their body because leprosy slowly decapitates joints until you are deformed. And here they stand. They're not 10 people that you would want to come and sit in your pew. In fact, if those 10 men was to come into this church tonight, you would be scrouging over to the faraway side. Somebody shout amen. I know that's a little offensive. That's a little offensive. You say, "Now, Brother Benny, you've taught us better than that." I may have taught you, but still, human nature is human nature. Amen. So here they stand. And the disciples knew what they were. The disciples knew who they were. They were lepers. Jesus knew them too. So let's listen as they lift up their voice and they say, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." That was their only cry. They did not say any more. They did not ask any more. They asked for mercy. Oh, thank God. He's plenteous in mercy. Plenteous in mercy. They said the right word. They're not asking for favors. They have nothing to give him. They have nothing to help him with. They cannot do anything for him. But there's one thing he can do for them. He can have mercy on them. When mercy comes, mercy can help. When mercy spreads her wings and hastens toward you, when God decides to have mercy on you, when God decides to show you mercy, when God decides to be good to you and give you mercy, let me tell you, my friend, there's nothing better God can do than to have His heart wrenched into that love that shows mercy. When God's eyes looks upon you and mercy flows from His heart, it's because you've touched Him deeply and He can be touched. It's because He has compassion and because He knows that you're going to die and He doesn't like death. Death is an enemy. He's always withstood it. He always will withstand it. It's not God's will that any should perish. Hallelujah. So here are 10 perishing souls that will die without it getting to go to church. They will die in their sins because they cannot offer the required sacrifices. No one will weep at their funeral. They'll throw a rope around their leg and they'll drag them like a piece of nothing to the pit and they'll throw them in a pit and they'll burn them. You say, "That's cruel." Well, understand, that's the way it was. That's why Jesus said about that dump outside of Jerusalem. That's why He said of that dump that was burning 24 hours a day that there were corpses unclaimed that laid in that fire. And that fire burned on them. And while the fire burnt, worms crawled in and out. And He said, "And the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched." Because, my friend, there were people who died in that day who no one loved. Jesus came to change that. He met 10 men who could not be loved by anyone except Him. Oh, hallelujah. 10 men out of the ark. 10 men out of the social circle. 10 men away from home. 10 men a castaway. But oh, great God of heaven, it does not end that way. They make their cry. He doesn't say anything about mercy. He doesn't say anything about doing anything for them. He simply says them. When He saw them, He said to them, "Go show yourself unto the priest." And I can hear them looking at one another and say, "What did He say? What did He say?" And they looked at themselves and said, if I show myself to the priest and they seize this on me, he's just going to pronounce me unclean and cast me out again. But all of a sudden, life tilts on those moments when decisions are made for better or for worse. There 10 men stood at the moment when they must do or be forever undone. 10 men stood at the crossroads of life to obey or to not, to move or to stand still. What to do? What did he say? Never had there been a leper cleansed like this. What did he say? Like I am? Gold that's like I am? Go right now just like I am? And you know when they started to be healed? When they spun on their feet and they started towards Jerusalem ahead of Jesus. Jesus was right on the back trail. That's where he was going. That's where they must go to get pronounced clean. Jesus is on his way to the same place. He's on his way to Jerusalem. He's just sending them ahead of him. If they need help, he's going to help them. They just don't know he's going to help them. He's going to be right behind them. He's going to be the rear guard. He's going to make sure the devil doesn't get to them. He's going to make sure that they make it all the way. Once they turn and once they decide they're going to go, they're going to do it. What did he say? He said go. What did he say? He said go. You can hear them as they talk to one another. What did he say? He said go. What are you going to do? I'm going. I got nothing to lose. So as they talk it over and they make their decision, all 10 of them turn. And here they go. You know what happened on the way towards Jerusalem? Since they could not see one another, it was sort of like the day of Pentecost. They looked and they beheld what was happening to another. A finger, all of a sudden, was not opened and sored. It was healed over. And then a hand was healed over. And they said, hey, look at your hand. Something's happening to you. You too. Yeah. And look. Look, I don't hurt like I used to. And as they walked, they picked up the cadence. They wanted to get there because while they were going, what happened to them? Come on, church, preach with me. What happened to them? Where was their miracle at? Where was their miracle waiting? Was it the first step, 10 steps? Was it the first mile? How far did they have to go? We're not told. Because it began when they said, what did he say? What did he say? Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Some of you sat in the service tonight with the key to a blessing. And instead of obeying, you're like Sister Wales said. He said, if I can quote her right, he said, Mabel, move. And she said, I didn't do it. Well, let me tell you something. That's when we lose that balancing opportunity to get up higher or to fall down lower. Amen. To get closer or to draw away from Him. That's when it happens. It's just in services like this. When you're sitting there tonight and the voice of the Lord is speaking to you and you're not just clear because you're not where you should be spiritually and you're not what you should be physically. But He says to you, you've got to do this. And instead of doing it, we said, what did He say? Hallelujah. Well, they all decided that they would just go together. But the closest they got towards Jerusalem, the more the Samaritan thought over his options. He could present himself to that priest, but that priest would have nothing to do with him. That priest would not receive him. That priest would not accept him. That priest would not give him an interview. He was a Samaritan. A Samaritan was not allowed to worship in the temple of God. Those priests wouldn't got going to receive him. So the Samaritan stopped. You can see him. He stopped, and the 9 stopped and said, what's wrong, buddy? What's wrong? I can't go with you guys. Why? They've forgotten? I'm a Samaritan. They will ask me what tribe I'm from. And I will tell them, I'm a Samaritan. And they will slam the door in my face. So the Samaritan has an option. He can go back to Mount Gerizim. He can go back to their temple. He can go back to their sacred spot. But there's no priest of God there. So he gives a little bit more thought as he stands there in the road and he bids the other 9 goodbye. And they go around the bend. He's all by himself. He's all alone because he can't go no further. All of a sudden, he remembers the man who told them to go. You see, he was healed too. And he said, a man that can heal me can forgive me. A man that can heal me can forgive me. And so without options, he turns in the path and he goes back. I think he hurried back myself. I think he hurried as fast as that body would allow him. He hurried back. And when he saw Jesus coming down the road towards him, he found himself on his face at his feet. That's what the Bible says, isn't it? Come on, somebody help me preach. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. He was a Samaritan. Does Jesus love Samaritans? Yes! Woo! Does his disciples love Samaritans? Uh-uh! But does Jesus love Samaritans? Yes! You never can get too low that Jesus can't love you. He has a word for you. You need to listen closely, because if you don't listen closely, you'll miss it. And when you miss it, you're gonna doom yourself. If it takes necessary, reach over and ask somebody, what did he say? Amen. He talked of the nine, and he called this man, save this stranger. Jesus knew he was a Samaritan. He was a stranger to Israel. He was outside. He was a stranger, a foreigner, an alien. But he's on his face at his feet. Jesus knows he's sincere. Come on, somebody say amen. No lip service here. This man is pouring out his heart. No lip service. This is heart worship. He's on his face in the dust at the feet of this Jew. This Samaritan is at the feet of this Jew, and he is worshiping. He is worshiping. Amen. Didn't the Bible say that? Didn't it say that? He fell on his face and gave him thanks. He gave him thanks. Amen. Glory to God. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Hallelujah. Can you suffer a little Sutherland imagination? I can see him coming down the road, skipping, hollering, glory! Hallelujah! How do you glorify God? Somebody tell me how you glorify God. How do you glorify God? With your teeth locked and your lips sealed, sitting on both hands, hugging yourself up so you won't move? No, my friend! When God has done something for you, you'll find ways to express it. You'll leap for joy. I said you'll leap for joy. You'll leap for joy. Hallelujah. When you really know God's answered your prayer, you'll leap for joy. You'll say hallelujah. Praise God. I don't know if I got you or not. But I'm still looking for you. Amen. They didn't get it until they went. But when this man went far enough to know that he was healed, he didn't go no further. He wanted to go back up this source to find the head, the fountain. Amen. He wanted to go back to the very fountain head and tell the fountain head, you are sufficient. Amen. Glory to God. As they went, they were cleansed. As they went, they were healed. Go. And as they did what he said, they were cleansed. Obedience is always the gateway to more. Now, I'm going to ask you tonight, have you been obedient to the Spirit of God? Or are you so far away from the Spirit of God that he's nothing to say to you while you sit in church? Surely if the Holy Ghost is in this place, which we know he is, surely if the Holy Ghost is in this place, he would be speaking to us. For it is he who glorifies Jesus Christ. He comes to glorify Jesus Christ. And you're full of the Holy Ghost and you're not, what? Glorifying Christ? How can you be full of the Holy Ghost and him be mute about the greatest subject of his life? Amen. I tell you what, if you're full of the Holy Ghost and you're in a service where the presence of the Lord is, you know what you're going to do? You're going to shout, glory! Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! And if you get too caught up, you'll turn like a tea kettle. You'll go, woo! What did he say? He said to them, go. He said to us, worship. He said to them, go. And as you go, they were healed. He says to us, while you praise me, I will be magnified and lifted up. And if I'm lifted up, I will draw all men. I will draw all men. Amen. I will draw all men. So the greatest thing that we could do for people to get saved in our church is beginning to get a unified understanding that the higher we exalt Christ, the more drawing power there will be to this church and to our altars. What did he say? Did he mean what he said? What did he say? Did he really mean go and show yourself? They said, yes, that's what he said. That's what we're going to do. And they went. And while they went, they were healed. And as soon as this Samaritan found himself in a different situation with life where he could get close. Before, he could not get close. Now he's healed. There's nothing that keeps him from the feet of Jesus. Ooh! Sin separated me for years. Sin separated me for years. But then there was a night when my sins rolled away and I could hug him. I could kiss his feet. I could tell him how much I loved him. There was no barrier between us. There was nothing to keep me from him. There was nothing to keep him from me. Somebody shout amen. What did he say? Come into my gates with thanksgiving. Enter my courts with praise. What did he say? Let everything that hath breath praise me. Let everything obey me. If he's Lord, then he's to be obeyed. One experience always breeds another experience. The nine's going to go because they've had an experience and they're going to get another experience. They're going to be turned loose. But they're not going to be changed. They're going to still be steeped in prejudice. They're going to still be held back. They're still going to be captured. They're always going to carry the marks and the scars of leprosy. This one man out of ten, this unique one man, decided, I want to go back. I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. I'd rather have Jesus than wealth untold. Come on, somebody shout amen with me. Oh, I'm feeling good. So his experience was going to breed another experience for him. He is going to leave his companions and let them go, and he's going to go back to Jesus. And when he gets back to Jesus, amen. When he gets back to Jesus, Jesus called him a stranger. He never opened his mouth. He never complained. He didn't say, My name is not stranger. My name is whatever it is. I'm not stranger. That's not my name. But when Jesus said, say this stranger, this man did not object. He didn't care what he was called as long as he could stay at his feet. You see, there was a little Syrophoenician woman who got called one day a dog. And she didn't get up from the table and walk out and slam the door. She just said, you're right. You're right. That's a good name for me. I'm a dog, but I know a little secret about dogs. Those little house dogs can sit under the table, and whatever falls from the children's bread and hits the floor is theirs. He said, I'm not asking for a whole loaf. I don't need the whole recognition of a child. Just let me at the crumbs, for the crumbs contain the same thing as the bread does. It's just not as much, but I can make do with the crumbs. Well, some folks just can't come to church unless they're given a position. Some folks just can't worship unless they're up front. And some folks know that the best place you can be is at His feet. For at the feet of Jesus, Jesus speaks His words to him. Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Now what does whole imply? What does whole imply? How long has it been since you felt whole? Man is made of body, soul, and spirit. How long has it been since you felt whole? Whole. Let me come down here among you, apparently, and do a little more preaching. Praise God. This has been my day to preach. Seems like we all get stuck at this same juncture all the time. What to do? What did he say? When was the last time he said something to you? When was the last time he said something to you? When was the last time he said something to you? You mean he speaks? Oh, yeah. What did he say? That's the clue to the whole situation. Is what did he say? Amen. Some folks can't hear him except at camp meetings. They just can't hear him except at the extraordinary intervention of their life is when they get to a great camp meeting and the power of God is being poured out. And there at that camp meeting, they can hear him. And when the pen drops, they can hear him. They pick it up, the clue so quick. Amen. They get spiritual at a camp meeting. But you let them come back to the old common. And when they get back to the common, they're deaf, tone deaf. They can't hear nothing. It'd almost be better for them spiritually if they could live in a camp meeting. But since that is one of the impossibilities of life and we can't all live at a camp meeting because there's demands made on us, then we need to get to where we can ask the question, what did he say? What did he tell me to do? My whole future hangs on what he told me to do. What did he say? Amen. And he said, go and you and show yourself to the priest. There's no promise of healing in it. Go and show yourself to the priest. Where is that touch of healing at in that? There's not a touch of healing there. It's just a command. Go and show thyself to the priest. And they obeyed the command of the Lord. And as they walked right into the greatest miracle of their life. As they went, they were healed. And as soon as that Samaritan saw that he was healed, he stopped. No doubt those nine said to him, come on, we'll take care of you. We've been together for such a long time. Come on to my house. I'll take care of you. You're welcome at my house. And he said, no, this is not what I want. This is not what I feel. This is not what I think he told me. I believe that I need to go back. And he stopped. And he said, you go on. Show yourself to the priest. And he turns around and he starts back. And he starts out walking like a man that's healed. He stepped right down. And when he sees Jesus, he takes a nosedive right in the dust. And he's glorifying God all the time. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God in the highest. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And Jesus says to him, get up. Arise. Thy faith hath made thee whole. The man begins to look over his body and all of a sudden there's not a joint missing, not a scar. Oh, you said, now that's just not the way it is. I'm going to tell you again. Let's go back to that old man that got off the chariot and he finally decided that he's going to do it God's way. He walked off with the marks of leprosy all over him. He walked right out into the water and he dipped like he was told. When he come up the last time, what kind of skin did he have? Baby skin. Of an old wrinkled trade. If me and Ray could find that Jordan River, we'd dip just to come up with some new skin. Now, some of you ladies looking at me and you use enough cream to iron out anything. You can't get rid of those wrinkles. This guy went down and came up with new skin. Skin soft. Skin like a baby's. Imagine what his wife said to him when he got back. Whoa, what happened to you? I heard what he told me. I done what he said. Yeah. I heard what he told me, and I done what he said. Yeah. tonight we could break out in revival if we could hear what he told me and we could do what he said. How many people would have all been running around this church tonight if we could have heard what he told us and done what he said? How many people would have danced in the Spirit tonight if they could have heard what he told them and did what he said? Amen. We've had music. We had the power of God in our singing. Brother Carpenter got locked up in it, followed by another song. Amen. Brother Barry had it. Amen. Those songs were ringing with the anointing of the Lord. Amen. And there it was. We had opportunity. Was there not a cause? Yes, we should have been worshiping. We were singing the songs of Zion like pilgrims on a march towards a higher place. The choir came and they sung, "Lift him up, give him the glory." There was another indication. Did you hear what he said? What did he say? To most of us, it's just another church service. It's just another hour, 2 hours we go through. We didn't come to get anything from God. We come because we felt like it was our duty. Duty brought us here, but duty will never bless you. Duty brought you here, but duty will never get you out of your pew. Because you feel like you've done your duty when you got here. But there is more than duty. There is a sense of master. Master, have mercy. This Samaritan said with the others, "Master, call me master and do not what I say." You're calling me master and Lord and you're not obeying me? What did he say? We should be on tiptoes. We should be on tiptoes. We should be the most expectant people, the most excited people to get to do what he's asking us to do. We should be happy and pleased that the Lord of glory comes down into such a common church, among such common people, to do such extraordinary things.
Yes, we should.
And we are to be listening with such intensity. What did he say? Amen. Amen. What has he told you to do in this service? Nothing. How many has the Lord told you not to do anything? You've been excused. Nothing. Nothing for you to do in this service. Nothing at all. You're excused. Amen. No, every one of us know. There was something for us to do when we entered those doors. Every one of us know. He spoke to us or we wouldn't be holiness. We would be in another church. Amen. Why, don't you know you can go and dance in churches and wear your britches, wear makeup, have brain balancers on both sides of your head, wear a chain around your neck that tells everybody you're a slave to sin? I never could understand these folks who come out of slavery and they wore a chain around their neck. They wore a collar around their neck. And the first thing that they want to do when they get back out there is put that collar back on. Well, that speaks a volume to me. You're a slave? Amen. The first thing he wants to do is choke you down, give you a lead rope, just pull you around by your nose so they put a hook in their nose like an old hog. Chances are you'll hear the voice of the devil better than you hear the voice of the Lord. He'll tell you you need a cigarette. And all of a sudden you'll start slapping your pocket. You may not have smoked for years and he'll whisper in your ear, "You need a cigarette." And you'll go, "Thank God it's not there anymore." Come on, somebody say amen. You'll get in a situation where all of a sudden all those bad thoughts come back. Who whispered that? Whose voice was that? Oh, I'm preaching. You may not like this kind of preacher, but I'm preaching. What did he say? The way to be made whole is to receive it and then understand where it came from. I'm sitting here with you in the same situation. I was saved from my sins, just like you. I wasn't called to preach before I got saved. I didn't think there was anything in this way that I really wanted, but I got saved. And when I got saved, I started listening to His voice. Something told me, after I got saved, you need to be sanctified. Something told me that. So I went back to the altar and started seeking Him for sanctification. I got crossways under pews. I mean, I got wild. I got wild looking for sanctification. Amen. And then when I got sanctified, I thought, well, glory to God, you can't get no better than this. This is it, man. This is better than better. This is better than better. This is gooder than gooder. I mean, this is it. And then something whispered in my ear, you need the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And I didn't even understand the Holy Ghost. I said, how do I do that? So I went to an old preacher and he said, keep a praise in your heart and one on your lip. So as I walked down life's road, I began to thank God. Thank God, praise the Lord. Thank
Amen.
God, praise
yeah.
the Lord. Thank yeah. God, praise the Lord. That's a hard thing to do. Amen. Keep that praise constantly there. It took me longer to get the Holy Ghost than it did get saved. It took me longer to get the Holy Ghost than it did get sanctified. I'd like to never got to be wise, obedient. I'd like to never got Southern and out of the way. I like to never got him killed. I like to never found a way to get him out of the way so I could get to the Holy Ghost. He gives the Holy Ghost to them that obey him. Amen. Then the night came when I got the Holy Ghost. It was long after I got the Holy Ghost that I had this voice speak to me about preaching. And I said, No. And I kept sinking under it. 7 days of fasting without bread or water or anything. Man, after 7 days of doing without and never doing without before, I was ready to listen closely.
Hallelujah.
And the only peace I found is I went to my uncle, Brother Denver, and I said, I need to say something at church tonight. And I got up and started to say something, and the Holy Ghost fell in that place. They were shouting all around me. Now, I mean to tell you, when I got through with my little 5-minute spiel, I was a preacher. No backing up, no getting out of it. I mean, you may not like this.
Come on.
But if I hadn't said, what did he say? If I hadn't said, what did he say? I would not have been here in 1978. I would have been working over in Indiana somewhere, thinking about 5 more years and sweet retirement. Huh? But after I got called to preach, I had to ask the question again. What did you say? Sir, what did you tell me to do? Because it's the most important thing that I can do is to be obedient to you. From this church to that church. You read Brother Lindsay's brief excursion in my life. But you read it in 5 minutes. It's took me years to live it out. Live it out at times and stopping and saying, what did you say? Sir, what did you tell me to do? I want to be whole. I want to be whole. What did you tell me to do? Arise. Get up out of that dust, son. You don't have to live in dust. You don't have to be ashamed.
Amen.
Your faith has made you whole. What words? Go thy way. Go thy way.
Nothing keeping you from going anywhere you want to. Go the way you want to go. Nothing to keep you from doing whatever you want to do. Go thy way. And you know what we've done? We've set her tonight with a golden opportunity of being able to take that one step that will set us free and make us whole. One step. What did he say? What did he say? What did he say to you tonight? Bow your heads for a minute and ask him. What did he say? To some of you, it's going to be very personal. It's going to be something you're going to have to do. Maybe you're going to have to give it up. Maybe you're going to have to lay it down. But what did he say? Your wholeness depends upon your obedience. What did he say? Some of you, it may be that you may have to go and ask forgiveness. But what did he say? These moments are crucial, just like tonight, right now. This is a crucial moment for some of you, because this is the moment when you either go on or you stop and go back and you get at his feet, and it's going to be settled once and for all that he's going to be master and he's going to be Lord. What did he say? I can tell you what some of you are hearing in your voice tonight. You need to come and you need to pray and you need to get right with God. You need to be able to get rid of your past. You need to be able to forget you're a Samaritan and you don't belong. You need to be able to say, I'm at peace with God. My sins are forgiven. Some of you need to get up out of your seat right now and you need to come to this altar and you need to say, Lord, I hear you. I can't go on until I'm cleansed. I can't go on until I'm cleansed. How many would get up from that pew tonight and come to this front and say, God, I've messed my life up. I've got things that I cannot do, things that I don't know what to do with. But if you come and you confess that you are a leper and you ask for mercy, mercy is waiting to kiss away your sores and to set you free and make you a new creature. How many would just raise your hand and say, Preacher, I know that's one of the things I need to do. I need to talk to him about my sins. Is there anyone that would lift your hand up quickly and put it back down? Anyone? Some of you needed to respond to that, because I know and you know that there's things in your life that you have not given to God. And you need to hear him. He's tried to speak to you about it. He's tried to speak to you about it. But you don't believe he's speaking to you. Yes, he is. He's speaking tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Holy Ghost is in this place. Even with opposition, the Holy Ghost is in this place. Even right now, he's talking to your heart, because he doesn't want you to go on. Listen to him. What's he saying to you? Would you obey him? Hallelujah. 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 Stand by me, Holy Ghost. Stand by me. Praise God. You that have the Holy Ghost, pray for me right now. Ask the Lord to use me. I'm trying to get to you. Listen to me. Listen to me. What's he saying to you right now? What did he say? He told you what to do to get better. He told you what to do to become whole. Will you do it? Will you stand up now and come, if coming will make you whole? Hallelujah. Help me, Holy Ghost. the difference between always knowing that something's missing and getting to the place where nothing is wrong and everything is right is a matter of obedience. Will you step out right now and come? This is the moment that you need to respond to God. Bitterness in your heart, friction in your experience with your family, then you need to come to God. What's He saying to you? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Is there anyone you would stand up right now and make your way up here? Father, I've tried to preach. I've been pitiful today, but I've tried to preach Your Word. I thank You for giving me the strength to do it, but I cannot do anything any more than what I've done. I have presented Your Word. I have told them that You're speaking. I have told them that they could hear Your voice. I have told them that if they hear it and obey it, that You would step in and intervene in their life, and that You would make a way where there seems to be no way. Now, Father, I wait on You. I wait on You to confirm Your Word. For You said You would work with us, and that You would give us signs and wonders. You've done that this morning. And then You said You would confirm the words. And that's what I need You to do right now. There's souls that are sitting here that hang precariously on what did He say. They know You spoke something, but it's not been clear and distinct to them, Lord. And they need to hear again. And they need to hear claim. And they need to hear plain words that they can obey. Now, Father, I ask You in Jesus' name, speak, my Lord, that they that have ears may hear. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole? I ask it because I can make thee whole. But I will not go over the top of Your own will. If You wish, go on. But if You return to Me, I can give thee what thou art lacking. I will give thee wholeness. I will restore thy joy, thy peace, and thy love. I will give thee Myself, and in Myself there is wholeness for all who will receive Me. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man will open the door, I will come in and sup with him, and he with Me, and I will make the difference in his life. For I have eyes, Salve, that you may see, and I have white raiment, that thy nakedness will not appear. And I can loan thee the gold of heaven, that thou might buy thy faith, and that thy faith may make thee whole. Yea, saith the Lord, to thee I stand tonight at your door, and hear my knock, and hear my voice. For I ask thee, come away with Me. Come away from those people who are using you. Come away from those friends who are abusing you. Come to Me, and I will heal thy hurt and thy wound, and I will make thee whole, saith the Lord. For it is in My power to produce in thee. And I will give thee that which thou art lacking. I shall supply all of thy need by My riches and glory. For it is Mine to give, and I shall give it that you may be whole, saith the Lord. Say not in thy heart that you are hopeless. Say not in thy heart that thou hast gone too far. Say not in thy heart that there is no room for thee. For I say to thee, I am speaking, and hear my voice. Understand what I say. I am speaking to you tonight because thou art crippled. You have crippled yourself. You have made a shame of thy life. But I have come to cleanse thee and to give thee wholeness. But thou must come to me and thou must ask for it. But if thou will ask for mercy, I will give thee plenty of mercy. And thou shalt know that the Lord hath pardoned thy sin and has caused thee to live and not die, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whew! Holy Ghost. Mighty Holy Ghost. Come on. Mighty Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody say it. Mighty Holy Ghost. Can He work among us? Come on, Daryl. Come on, settle it tonight. Come on. Fall in this altar. Settle it tonight. Come on. Come on, brother. Pray with him. He's not the only one. Is he speaking to you? Are you ready to break it away? Are you ready to break it off? Are you ready to get those sins under the blood? And you need to get up. You need to get up and you need to come. You need to get up and come right now. Come while He is going to give you mercy. Come now. Don't pray in the back. Get up. Bring those problems to Jesus. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Stand all over the building so you'll feel like at least you need to come. Let's stand on our feet. Let's stand on our feet. And now, reach over. Reach over to your neighbor and say, if you need someone to go and pray with you, I'm ready. I'm ready to go with you right now. I'm ready to go and pray with you. Do you hear your back slip? You need to come back before you drift too far from the shore. Who will step out? Who will step out? Who will come? Come on, who will come? Come on, come on, come on, come on. Who will come? Who will come? That's it. That's it. Come on. That's it. Come on. Thank God. Come on. Come on. The Holy Ghost is working. There's some more that need to come. You need to come. You really need to get it settled tonight. You need to step out and say to God, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready right now. I'm ready to stop this. I'm ready to quit being what I am. I want you to change me. Anyone else? Anyone else that you'll come? God bless your heart. Come on. Come on. Come on, sisters. Come on. Come on. Come on. Follow her in here. Come on. Is there some more? Is there some more? Is there some more? The Holy Ghost right now is working a work. The Holy Ghost is doing a work. Come on. Come on. Come on. Move now. Move with Him. Obey Him. Come on, step out of there. Say, excuse me, I've got business with Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, come on, come on, come on. There's some more of you. You know it. You know it. Don't try praying at that seat. Don't do that. Don't do that to God. He's asking you to say publicly, I need your help. He's asking you to step out and come up here and publicly admit, I need help. Will you come? Will you come? Will you come? Will you come? Come on, come on. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Reach around right now. Look around. Look around. Is he talking to you about talking to somebody? Is he asking you to put your hand on their shoulder and say, won't you come and pray? Won't you go and pray? I'll go with you. That may be all they need is for someone to say, is God talking to you? Come on, angel, and sing for us. Come on, sing for us. Let's go, church. Let's make us an altar. If you won't come by yourself, come when everybody else comes. Come on, let's come. Let's pray and let's talk to God. Come with the church. Come and pray. Come on. Come with the church. Come and pray. Come on. Come and seek God. Come with the church. Come and pray.